Odyssey fans. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Divided by the cosine of the coefficient squared.
Bob?
Minus the polynomial of pi after moving the exponent two decimal places.
Bob, what are you doing?
Huh? Oh, just trying to figure out Odyssey math.
Oh, you mean the passage of time and how some of the characters on the show seem to age more slowly than others.
Exactly. Sort of like people years, dog years, and Odyssey years.
Forget about it, Bob. Many have tried and many have failed. One guy was institutionalized. Why the sudden interest in crunching the numbers?
Well, because this month's club episode reintroduces a character we haven't heard from in 30 years. Connie's friend, Pamela, from California.
Wait, you mean Pamela has a problem, Pamela?
One and the same. And we find out that she has a new problem, one that Connie tries to help her solve in the July club adventure titled Millstones.
Wow. After 3 decades, Pamela could be a grandma by now.
You're thinking people years, Jess. Remember, Odyssey time defies all normal logic.
Oh, yeah, right. We probably need a spreadsheet or something, but I don't recall hearing Pamela has a problem on the radio or online recently.
Nope. In fact, Pamela has a problem is one of the lost episodes available only in the club, on CD, and download, partially because this episode dealt with a sensitive topic. We're going to talk to Paul McCusker about what led to the creation of this adventure, why we wanted to broach the topic, and why it's a lost episode.
But first, here's the latest news. Album 69, Best Kept Secrets, has started releasing in the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Bob, tell everyone how excited you are.
I am very excited, Jesse. There's been a lot of speculation about Album 69 and the conclusion to the Rydell saga, and I, for one, am eager for our listeners to learn the truth.
The anticipation for this episode is through the roof. Let's hear a preview.
Next time on Adventures in Odyssey, Emily is on a mission.
It's time to reveal the truth about Maury Rydell once and for all.
The answers are out there.
Where are their parents?
Their father is in Japan. He works in U.S. Embassy there.
But will Emily find the truth in time?
Suzu, you don't have to be afraid.
I'm not afraid. I have to go.
Don't miss the Rydell revelations next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
You can hear the Rydell Revelations Part 1 in the club right now. Part 2 is on its way July 21st, with Part 3 following on July 28th. The rest of the album will release Tuesdays in August.
I can't wait to hear those episodes, and I can't wait to talk about them on the podcast.
We'll have to hold off on that, the talking about them part, but I'm looking forward to our discussions, too. There's a lot to unpack here, and for our fans, don't wait too long to listen. You don't want to be spoiled.
Okay, so I won't talk about that thing that happens with that guy in the place?
Right, no, nothing like that.
Well, instead, let's talk to writer-director Paul McCusker about Pamela Has a Problem.
Paul, always good to have you with us in the studio.
Thanks. It's good to be with you again.
Well, Pamela Has a Problem is a little outside the normal subject matter for Adventures in Odyssey. We normally don't tackle mature themes, at least not so directly. What led to the decision to create a show about the sanctity of human life?
Well, at the time, as I recall, Dr. Dobson, when he was head of Focus on the Family, had come to pretty much all the departments, but to us, and said, we really need some help with reinforcing our stances on some of these issues that are out there, and kind of had a shopping list of things that he put to us that if we could do stories about them that would affirm what we believe and why we believe, that it would be a good thing. And so we had this list, and of course, we're looking through the list thinking, how in the world are we going to do this for a kids program? And so a bunch of them we just knew we couldn't do. And when we came down to this one, we weren't even sure that we could do the topic of sanctity of human life, dealing with it in the way that we ultimately did. Except I remember feeling that the first step would be to not think of it as an issue, but to take it and think of it as a very human situation. In other words, let's not get into the debate and argument about the subject. Let's just personify it. Let's do it with real characters who are trying to make a decision. In the context of that, then, well, maybe it could work. I mean, I don't know that any of us were convinced that it could, except I then began to work on an outline, began to work through how we could do it, and came up with the idea then of, well, the most natural way to approach that would be a situation in which a young woman is pregnant and she's trying to make a decision about the baby. And then I think it just sort of emerged. I mean, it kept going as it often does with the show. And we wound up reintroducing a character from Connie Part 1 and 2, the episodes where Connie became a Christian. I mean, it seems funny years later to think that it actually seems a bit edgy. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. I thought to take the character of Pamela, the Christian character who helped lead Connie to Christ, to now bring her into the town. She comes to Odyssey to visit Connie. And initially, we just think it's friends getting together again. And then we find out that Pamela has a problem and what that problem is. And to actually put it onto a good Christian girl. And her big fear is disappointing her parents and what it would mean if they even found out that she was pregnant. All of that was bundled into it. But in our minds, and in my mind, it humanized the situation. It took it out of the realm of issue and made it a very human story. And to me, that's always the best way to come at these things.
Oh, yeah. You know, abortion is, like you said, a really tough subject to tackle, especially for a younger audience, which is definitely the demographic for Adventures in Odyssey. So how did you decide what you would and would not talk about in the audio drama?
Well, that was very careful. And I'm sure we must have done, I'm assuming we did multiple drafts of the thing just to try to get it right. I think in the context of the show, we might have used the word abortion maybe only a couple of times. We just kept going back to the question of her dealing with the fact that she's pregnant and what's going to happen if she decides I'm keeping the baby or not, and touching on her options in that without getting preachy and without sounding judgmental. And so really it was, it was a very careful process of just trying to make sure the story reflected the best way to look at the sanctity of human life, but then even scene by scene or even how we phrase certain lines. I'm sure we went over that multiple times in our read-throughs just to make sure that we were hitting the balance right, which, of course, we always try to do with the show. But in this one in particular, yeah. I think we were very concerned about what we were doing.
Can you share anything that maybe happened with the actors in the studio?
I was thinking the other day that, as was often the case when we recorded in Los Angeles, because we were in Pomona and we used the studio there, that one of the characters is actually a staff member.
Oh.
And we were trying to figure out how to cast the part. And I just remember thinking that she had the right voice and the right tone for the girl that Pamela meets at the clinic. She was not a professional actress. I don't think she ever did anything else. It was just that maybe that was so traumatic for her that she decided never to act again. And then the other part, of course, working, of course, with our actors. I mean, to listen to it again and hear Wit, Hal Smith playing Wit.
Yeah.
And just that warmth that he had. And, of course, Katie playing Connie, and she's trying to wrestle through how to respond and what to do with that. And then, of course, Gaia was Pamela, and she was wonderful.
Well, surprise, surprise, we actually have Gaia Marchetti, the voice of Pamela in Pamela Has a Problem, on the line right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Hi, Gaia.
Hi.
Hey, Gaia.
Good to be with you guys.
Hey, good to
hear
you. Hi.
Nice to be back.
Yeah. Well, Gaia, this was early on in the creation of Odyssey, within the first few years of the program. And as Paul mentioned, casting was maybe a little bit different back then than it is now. So do you remember how you were cast in this role? And did you have a focus connection before joining the Odyssey family?
To the best of my memories, I mean, this is 30 years ago, gentlemen. I remember actually having the pleasure of meeting and working with Paul, being a part of Jeremiah People, which is a Christian acting company. They took a chance on a Midwest nobody like me. I was a part of a singing competition, and one of the judges happened to be part of the group. They asked me to join up with what they were doing, and I agreed. And as a result, I guess through playing the character in Jeremiah People, Paul must have seen something in my abilities to come to me and ask if I'd consider being a part of it. And of course, I was like, absolutely. And part of it, you asked about the focus connection. As a kid, you have to recall, I was probably 18. So I had been listening to Adventures in Odyssey as a, you know, younger kid already. So I was super familiar with Wit and Connie and all the other characters. So to actually, you know, meet them in person, I felt like I was, you know, won the lottery, and I was going, you know, to meet these like Hollywood stars or something, because that it was just so surreal to hear them for years and actually be able to meet them in the studio. So that was really, really delightful for me.
Well, Gaia, in this case, what did you think when you read the script for the first time?
I said, here goes Paul again, putting me in a position. No, I'm kidding. It actually, when I read it, I got to be honest, now as an adult and a mother myself of, you know, teens and older, I wish that there had been more information out there for kids at that time. So I remember reading it and being like, wow, this is, it's heavy, but it's necessary. And it really does need to get presented with the biblical worldview, the Christian perspective. And it's never comfortable, I think, when you address these kind of topics, but it's so necessary. All most people are getting pertaining to the topics of teen pregnancy, it's usually very secular and it's not biblically minded. So to have this wonderfully written, very tastefully done production, a very realistic human picture of what it would feel like for someone to go through that. And I really related to the character because I was, you know, a raised Christian in a very, you know, almost legalistic Christian family, but loving family. So I always felt that thing in the back of my head that, boy, if I mess up, I can't disappoint my parents. It was more that kind of thing. And I was very involved in my youth group and all that kind of stuff. So I remember thinking through some of the situations that she had been in herself, and I could relate very much so, especially being that age. Mm.
And this was a particularly emotional episode, too. So, you know, how do you prepare yourself for those kind of emotional scenes? Is that even possible?
I'm Italian. I guess that's part of it. The other thing is, honestly, I did have some real life experiences to pull from that seemed to be triggered when I was reading some of the scripts. One of them, as actually Paul mentioned, obviously just signing on with Jeremiah People, doing this really emotional drama for, you know, a year to 2 years straight, where I was able to really tap deep into emotional stuff. That obviously had helped me be a little more adept at doing that. And the other issue is I remembered even when I was in eighth grade, I had a situation where I was at the top of my class doing all these things, and I made a bad decision. And I was devastated, and I remember disappointing my father so much, and I got pulled off everything, and it was just a mess. So I remember what I felt like at that moment. And so I kind of tapped into a little bit of that, I think, for Pamela's character and what she must have felt like, you know, being looked up to, being used as an example for the other kids, and then herself falling from grace. So I did know what that felt like from personal experience.
As someone who has a lot of Italian blood flowing through my own veins, voiceover work has got to be particularly difficult because we like to talk with our hands, and they can't see that.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And I think I did that in the studio. And I don't know if it was Paul or Connie who's kind of leaned over. She's like, honey, they can't see you. I'm like, oh, that's right. I can't rely on my hands to do the emotional gesturing. It has to all be in my voice. I felt like I was getting trained on the spot by just phenomenal professionals. It really was fun. It was a great time.
You were coming off of a stage show. I mean, you're doing live and stage and all of that. And a lot of people don't realize that acting with one's voice is a very different discipline for any actor. I mean, we've worked with actors who are great film stars, and yet they actually couldn't do a very good job acting with only their voice. But you took that direction very well. I mean, listening to the episode again, you hit it. I didn't hear anything that betrayed your experience as a stage actress. You actually came into it and just hit it right, and all the emotion was in your voice. It was exactly what we needed.
I'm so glad. Yeah, that was wonderful. And I will say, just as another little side note, is that since that time, I ended up getting more opportunities with radio and doing voiceover work, and I'm still doing commercials and voiceovers to this day from that time. So it really planted a seed for me to have kind of a side gig going. So I'm actually really grateful for it. It was an awesome springboard for kind of a part-time career for myself. Pretty neat.
Yeah, that's really cool. Paul, back to you. Can you remember and describe the reaction to this episode when it first aired, not only from our audience, but also maybe from within Focus on the Family?
Well, we were concerned for all the reasons we talked about earlier, and that is, and number one, you know, should we even be doing it at all? And if we're going to do it, how do we release it? How do we do the right warnings in a way, because we knew that kids would listen to Odyssey on their own very often. And so I think we had to do the introduction that basically said, kids, go get your parents and let them listen with you. Or we often encouraged parents to listen. We would flag it, say, listen to this first, and then if it's appropriate for your kids, do it. But it's harder to do that with radio, and that made it even more difficult. It's one thing when we released the cassettes at the time or CDs later, but in the case of radio, it's spontaneous, and so you have the kids listening without the parents knowing what's coming and all of that. And I think parents, understandably, if they feel blindsided by a trusted show like Adventures in Odyssey, something's in there. A lot of times parents aren't thinking, well, you know, let me figure out how to turn this so that we can discuss it properly. Sometimes the reaction is, oh, I'm going to write to Focus on the Family and tell them, what were you thinking? You know, and I understand that completely. And I remember at the time, I think we had some of those. I think the reaction was, as you would expect, split. There were some who were saying, thank you for handling this. Thank you for doing it the way you did it. And it gave us a chance to talk about it or whatever. And then you had the other side that was saying, I just don't even understand why you thought this was a good idea. You should leave that to us. You shouldn't be trying to deal with those subjects. So we had both, but we take all that very seriously on both sides. I mean, we're not so driven in what we're doing that we ignore what listeners think and how they respond to what we produce. So that then ultimately led internally, externally, to enough of, let's call it a chorus of disapproval, even if it was only a handful of people, to say, well, you know, if we're going to put this out there again, and under what circumstances do we do that? Should it go back on the radio at all? I mean, because of the nature of radio, do we want to take that chance that kids will listen without their parents and it'll cause problems there? So I think we sort of buried it. I don't think we were ashamed of the show. I mean, you know, that we wanted to bury it because we thought there was anything wrong, except we want to stay appropriate for the audience. So I think it kind of got put away for a while. And then we were always looking for the opportunity to release it again. And in what context could we do that, which we did later.
Yeah. Of course, it's available now in the Lost Episodes collection, as well as in the Adventures in Odyssey Club for anybody who's interested in hearing Pamela Has a Problem. Paul, hearing the show now, is there anything you wish you could kind of go back and change about the script?
That's true for every episode that I do, which is I go back and can think of all the things that I would adjust or change. It was interesting to me about this one, though, because I actually, having not heard it in 25 or 30 years now, I was bracing myself for this question, thinking all of it. I might want to change everything. I was actually surprised that it turned out really well. In other words, I think what we were trying to do with the humanity of the situation played out well. The only thing I realized I would change was when the parents show up at the end, towards the end. The parents show up and it's a bit sudden. It happens so fast. And we're only there for like a fraction of a second. And then suddenly we're into the next scene with Whit and Connie. And if I had that to do over again, I would have taken more time with that moment, set it up a little bit better and let it play out a little bit more. I don't know if we were under time constraints or whatever. I'm notorious for writing long episodes anyway. But I think that's the one thing I would change now, is just to allow that moment to breathe a little more, so to speak. But other than that, I was pleasantly surprised that it turned out as well as it did.
And it does hold up well. Do you think that 3 decades now of the abortion debate and various things going on in our society, any perhaps new wrinkles that you would want to address in a different way for a modern audience?
No, that's the funny thing. I was even listening for that thinking, well, okay, 30 years later, how has it all changed? And the fact is, if somebody gave me the same assignment now as a writer, I would probably do it similarly. I don't think I would necessarily change much because of the humanity of it. The humanity of it is timeless. The question of sanctity of human life is timeless. How we respond to it as individuals or as a community or as a culture is ongoing. And that's why I think it works, because if I had dealt with it as an issue and got into the issue-based arguments one way or the other, then I think it would have been far more dated because the, let's say, the evolution of ideas around even how we discuss it has shifted and changed. But the essence of it, I think, is true now as it was when it was first written. And that's what allowed, well, I mean, to be honest, that's why Odyssey has lasted so long, because so much of what we deal with in the show, we try to deal with in a timeless way, which means we're getting to the humanity behind whatever it is we may be talking about or teaching. And that's why you can listen to an episode 25 years later, or 30 years later, and it still holds up.
Yeah.
So I think it does. Yeah.
And Gaia, what are your thoughts looking back at this episode nearly 30 years later?
My thoughts are that I sound very young. That I'm just so honored, really, when I think back, that the Lord really orchestrated me to be a part of something so far-reaching and so relevant and so needed, even more so now, you know, that we were able to do it on the front end. I was so green, but he just kept placing me in certain places at the right time, and to get around some fantastic people such as Paul McCusker and others like him who believed in me and gave me the chance to use a voice that I have to, you know, speak a message that would hopefully help people in these positions, you know, these young ladies and young men, to make the right choice when they're faced with a crisis. You got to give them the tools, and we definitely, I believe, accomplished that. So it was just such a great experience for me.
Well, Gaia, that's really well said. And that's something that, as Paul said too, that Adventures in Odyssey does. It addresses those topics, gives kids the tools, and puts a humanity to it, an authenticity that people can relate to. So thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Gaia and Paul. This was a great discussion.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always fun to reconnect with old friends. But when I say old, I just mean older. Certainly not in a negative way. I mean, I'm a grandpa myself, so I'm not suggesting in any way that...
Oh, we get it, Jesse. It's okay. Yeah. We're all getting older.
Except for the characters on the show. Wouldn't it be great if we could all age in Odyssey years?
You can hear Pamela once again, this time voiced by a different actress in the exclusive club adventure Millstones. Jesse, this episode has a lot to say about ethical decision-making. In fact, I highly recommend that families listen and talk about it together. As always, they'll find discussion questions and a whole lot more at AIOclub.org.
Including a guide to Odyssey math?
Not anytime soon. But as we mentioned up front, we are beginning to feature episodes from Album 69, Best Kept Secrets. If you haven't already taken advantage of the 28-day free trial of the Adventures in Odyssey Club, this would be a great time.
Oh, and don't forget to vote for your favorites in the Avery Awards. That's where we vote for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Scene, Best Episode, and Best Costumes for a Foreign Documentary. You can find the link to that and more at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast.
And that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Once again, you can join the club at AIOclub.org or visit the podcast at adventuresinodyssey.com/podcast.
Or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
It's time to level up. Give your kids a safe, faith-focused, and biblically-based community, and so much more. Join the Adventures in Odyssey Club. Club members get on-demand access to the exciting Adventures in Odyssey series, including more than 900 episodes. With faith-building activities, parental controls, and a safe online community, the Adventures in Odyssey Club could be your best adventure yet. Learn more and start your free trial at adventuresinodyssey.com/radio.